Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the biblical books of Ezra and Nehemiah. First part, making sense of history. Zerubbabel and Ezra. The first return of exiles. In the year 539 before Christ, so 2,500 years back in history, we have an important point in time, because in this year, 539 before Christ, the Persian king Kyros came to the center of the Babylonian Empire, Babylon. And he succeeded and had a great victory. And from that time on, the Persian Empire exploded in size. The Babylonians had taken captive 70 years before the Israelites. So they had come to Jerusalem, and took a lot of Israelites of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin and brought them as captives, as slaves to Babylon. On this piece of art here, on this painting, we see this walk from Jerusalem to Babylon, 607 before Christ. Here is Daniel and his friends. The book of Daniel describes this time. Now Daniel was 17 at this special area and time, and after 70 years Daniel had lived in Babylon and became prime minister there. He discovered something. Because the Persian king, Kyros, had made a victory about the Babylonians, Daniel discovered in the book of Jeremiah the following text. We find it in chapter 25. And there in verse 11 in the second part, and those nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, the Israelites. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. Ah, and Daniel had just experienced that. It was written before it had happened. Yet even before they had been taken captive to Jerusalem. Now 70 years have passed, and really the Babylonian king had been punished by God, because the Persian king had made victory. And in chapter 29, verse 10, we read, and this Daniel read as well, for this says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, says the Lord, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, namely Jerusalem. And Daniel read this. When he had been 17, he had been taken captive. Now, 70 years later, he's 87, had been prime minister in Babylon, now he's prime minister in the Persian kingdom. Astonishing. And he talks to the Persian king Kyros about these texts. And then the king allows about 50,000 Jews to go back to Jerusalem, to Israel, to the Holy Land. What a surprise! Overview of Kings and events. We have a look at the book of Ezra. Now, who is Ezra? When there are names of people, we try to illustrate when they have lived in time. So, Daniel, we have heard, had been taken captive in 607 before Christ. 70 years later, the Israelites were allowed to go back. Now we go further on in time and we continue for 80 years. So from Daniel's being taken captive to Ezra, there are about 150 years in time. And in the book of Ezra, we find a scribe called Ezra who describes what happened in these 80 years from the first return to the second return of exiles. Because of this Ezra, another group of Israelites went back 80 years after the first return. And Ezra tells us in chapter 4 of his book that it was not so easy as the beginning as it was in the beginning. First, they went back under Zerubbabel, and there were the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. But soon, leaders of surrounding nations tried to stop the building, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And after some years they succeeded. They wrote letters to the Persian king and told this king, well, these Israelites, they're going to rebuild their capital city, they are bad people, they always revolted and look back in history, and so on. And then a Persian king who wasn't so good in history, he stopped the rebuilding of the temple. So it took a long time, up to 515 before Christ, till the temple was completed. So it took more than 20 years to rebuild this temple. And in Ezra 4, Ezra goes on to tell what happened in these 80 years. Stopping the temple, the rebuilding of the temple, then going on again, stopping, going on again. So it was to and fro. Building is stopped. Building is stopped. And all the kings are named Kyros, Cambyses, Darius, Xerxes, Artaxerxes. And this Artaxerxes is the king who was in the time of Ezra, the scribe. And this Ezra is a scribe who writes not always in a chronological way, but in a way of describing events in kind of following a theme. When leaders of neighboring countries wanted to stop it, and then he continues, and under this king, and under this king, and under this king, they tried to stop us. When we have a look at the map, we see that the main area where they lived in Babylon was here. And the way of return of the first exiles in 537, and the second return in 457, it was always on this way. Why not going just the short way? This color means desert. Desert. No water. Only in some certain places. But when 50,000 people walk back, they need a lot of water. So they walked along the river. And then coming down there. This was the way of the exiles on their return. The second return of exiles. So the first return was when the 70 years of captivity had been fulfilled. And Daniel went to the king Kyros, and then it was allowed that the leader of the Israelites, Zerubbabel, with the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, was allowed to go back. 50,000 people. First return. Then 80 years passed, and then there we have the story of Ezra, a scribe. And in his time of Ezra, we see a second return of exiles. These people had never lived in Israel before. So their homeland was Babylon, the river Euphrates, Tigris. They had never seen the country where their forefathers had lived and had been taken into captivity. So it was much more difficult to win them for going back, for returning. Their homeland was Persia, not Israel. They had never been there. They had already been born in Persia, although they were Israelites. But Ezra, as we find it in chapter 7 of his book, was a very special person. He was one who did the following. We read in verse 6, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his request." Have you ever heard of anything like this? The king, the Persian king, granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. Ezra was so fascinated of the Holy Scriptures. And he became so famous in this that even the king had an eye on him and wanted to get informed about the studies of this scribe, this teacher of the law. And Ezra succeeded in showing the king, "Oh, it would be so good if you allowed us to go back. A second wave of returnees of the exile to Israel. And the king allowed it. And we find here that this Ezra is a person, as we read it in verse 10, who is very special in his behavior. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We have three verbs here. He wanted to seek the law of the Lord, and he prepared his heart for that. And first is seeking, then is doing, and then is teaching. Seeking the law, doing the law, teaching the law. And he prepared his heart for doing that. That's the headline for all of this. But there's one person doing this. And what is the effect? Hundreds of people who had never seen Israel before. Hundreds of people who had been born in this Persian environment at the river Euphrates. They were willing to go back because one person was fascinated about God and fascinated about his law and his will. One person is so fascinated that others get fascinated. Artaxerxes' decree. In the year 457 BC, before Christ, we're informed about a decree of a Persian king named Artaxerxes. We read it in the book of Ezra. It's written there because it's so famous. And it's a fascinating story. We read Ezra 7, verse 11. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Now, what does this king write? Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. That's the beginning. Perfect peace. Shalom. Peace be with you. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, so in his kingdom, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with you. Of their own free will. Ezra told the king, and the king was so fascinated that he allowed Ezra to go around his people, to all the Jews, and tell them, we are allowed to go back. A second wave of returnees, 80 years before the first exiles went back, and now 80 years later, we are allowed to do the same again. We will see Israel, the land of our fathers. We will see the temple, which has been rebuilt now. Imagine, we go there, to the Holy Land, the land which God gave to our father Abraham. And Ezra could teach in such a fascinating way that hundreds and thousands were willing, out of free will, to go. But imagine, when they go, they leave a house there, they leave a job there, they have now here a family, They have it fine in Persia. It's not bad being there. It's a huge kingdom. You can earn money. And because of the river Euphrates and Tigris here, this is a very fertile land, this green color here along the rivers. This color shows the best land. Here you can grow whatever you want. There is water. And where there is water, everything will grow. Because there's warm sunshine as well. The other colors are not so good for the people. This light green color, that's only for sheep and goats. A little bit of grass somewhere. There is one a meter beyond another piece of grass, so not much. Dark green forests. Woods. This light red, desert, good for nothing. And there are huge areas of deserts. And you cannot use it for anything. You can only die there if you have no water. So the first wave of return is this way, 5, 3, 7. The second wave of return is 4, 5, 7 before Christ. The same way. Importance of education. In Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, we read, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So this is a summary of his life. And because of this, thousands followed him back to Jerusalem. Because of this attitude. I'm fascinated that in the Bible we find so many stories of certain people who acted in the same way. They concentrated themselves on this holy book and became fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. And because of this, they got strength, power, joy. And you could see it. And people looked at such a person and saw, well, that's something I would like to have for myself as well. So being filled with the Spirit because you spent time with God will change your character. You will be a different person after some time. A fascinating person. Because you're together with the highest one in the universe. You're together with the one who has the best brain in the universe. The one who made our brain. So he knows how it functions. And the highest one, he knows what's the best for us. And Ezra is a person who studies and studies and studies and becomes famous for his studies that even the king and his 7 advisors are so fascinated that they allow in a decree. So it's written down. the Israelites to go back in a second return of exiles. Now, when you won't be on this earth anymore, so when your day of death will come, what summary will be found in heaven about you? What was the effect of your life? What will heaven write down as a summary about your life? As we find it here with Ezra, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it. What will be written about your life? What will be the effect for the people afterwards? Will you have any effect? Or have you just worked and worked and worked till you get some money and that you can buy this and that, and one day you will be in the grave? Is there anything that makes real sense in your life? Something that is of such an effect that even when you are not anymore around, the effect of your work is still seen. Summary. Here's an interesting text in the book from Ellen G. White in Prophets and Kings. We read here, as Ezra communicated to others the truth he learned, his capacity for labor increased. Now that's an important point, isn't it? When you have studied something, you got an information, and you tell others about it, your capacity increases. In former days, when mothers were at home and not in a job, when the kids came home from school, mom had prepared a meal for them. Now they sit together, eat together, and the little one or the little ones who come back from school, they tell what they have learned this morning in school. Now they are going to repeat what they have learned. And their capacity will be increased because of that. In a way, they teach their mother. They tell what has been, so they memorize. Now imagine in our days when a child comes home, nobody is around. Father is at work, mother is at work. They have a key around their neck, and then they open the home, and then they sit there, and then they look at their mobile phone, their computer, television, they communicate with someone who isn't really there. They communicate with technical equipment. And they do not tell this TV set what they have learned at school. They just look, they consume. There is no repetition. And that's the difference. I'm a teacher, and I have often seen this. Repetition, this is a saying, repetition is the mother of wisdom. Then it is preserved. It is preserved if you repeat it. You have just heard it once, if you have just seen it once, it's gone. Repetition preserves knowledge. It is better to repeat less and repeat this again and again than to hear a lot and to learn a lot just for once, for one time. You will everything forget. And therefore, when we read about Ezra, he studied again and again and again the Holy Scriptures. We've heard about Daniel, who had been taken captive. He studied the Scriptures and he read, "Oh, when 70 years have passed, then we will be allowed to go back." And then he went to the king and showed him the text. These were people who studied the Word of God. What do you study with interest? This magazine where you can find the program of the TV programs for the day? Is this your interest? Or the newspaper? Imagine how much worth will have this newspaper you are going to study today. What worth will this newspaper have tomorrow? And a day after tomorrow. But the Bible, it's always impressive. It's from God. Your time, how do you use it? Use it in the best way, studying